Good day and welcome to this podcast of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John White, editor of Walls and Ceilings Magazine. Today, I speak with our regular contributor, Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting. How are you today, Tom?
Doing well, John.
Today's theme is on Inflation Reduction Act, stimulus or deterrent. So what impact has the Inflation Reduction Act had on your business, Tom?
Well, thanks, John. And the phones are ringing and questions are being asked, but it's far too early to tell if it's going to turn into any energy efficiency work. The early adopters, you know, they've already done their work and converted. They've jumped into the marathon and they're working their plan. And I think this rebate and tax credit offering, it'll push, you know, the building owners that were debating whether or not or a little hesitant. I think they'll push them into doing some work over the next few years. You know, they'll spend some money and they'll get some rebate money. Energy conservation activities will, that's a good thing in the residential or commercial market.
So do I detect a tinge of skepticism there, Tom?
Yeah, this whole rebate and credit package, it's well intended. And these are early days, so we still don't know. But I'm afraid we're taking our eye off the ball.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, improvements in energy conservation, they address two key areas for the building owner, huh? The reduced impact of your building on the environment and the financial benefit through lowering operating costs. I mean, there's a host of other benefits, but those are the two main drivers. And since the IRA was introduced like August of last year, I'm seeing the selling conversation absolutely consumed with discussions around rebates and credits and qualified who, what, when, where. Sure, everyone would like to see a lower cost of things we buy, but that's exactly what energy conservation is. It's reducing monthly operational costs and over time reducing our impact on the planet. That's a good thing. Whether or not it's tied to a rebate or tax credit shouldn't be the deciding factor. Taking the first step towards net zero energy buildings should be.
But a rebate or a tax credit is a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But remember, not everybody's going to get their building and their project qualified. There's specific energy savings that you have to meet before your project can even qualify for a rebate or a tax credit. And they're not small.
And to meet those requirements, do you think we could be doing a better job of helping people get either the tax credit or rebate?
Yeah, there's a bit of softness in the process where if work is being done or delayed because research has to be done on the tax credit because everybody wants to look for the tax credit and there's not a clear path to the money, which there really isn't now because it's early days, then people are going to get frustrated and potentially not do the work because of that. I would rather see us focus on doing the work because it's going to A, save the planet, and B, save that owner money immediately. I'll give you an example, John.
Yeah.
If an existing commercial building, the activity has got to qualify for a minimum 25% fuel consumption, like HVAC fuel, reduction. There's a lot of energy conservation measures that can be taken by the building owner to reduce their monthly operating costs and lower their environmental impact, but they won't give you a full 25% until you bundle them with other high cost items, such as lighting and HVAC and all this different thing. And that's a very pretty penny. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's not the intention of the IRA. It's an unintended consequence that framing everything with initial cost, that's the problem. There seems to be a focus on lowering costs, you know, the capitalized dollars for projects, when the true intention is to reduce environmental impact of our buildings.
So the bigger reduction, the bigger the credit. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I can see it too, but it remains to be seen whether we can pull this off. In the commercial space, that strategy or philosophy will result in big companies with big buildings and big dollars to spend on work, they're going to get the tax credit. While the small to medium companies, you know, who occupy smaller buildings, they won't be able to qualify for the credit, the rebate, because they can't afford to do it all, you know, lights and HVAC, the building envelope, roofing, which would get them over the 25% hurdle.
So will they do it?
Well, will they do anything? I think they'll want to, and they should, but focus the attention on monthly operating cost savings and environmental benefits, not the capitalized upfront cost. We need to keep that down. You know, a marathon begins with a first step. You know, you can eat the elephant one bite at a time, choose whatever metaphor you like. But the carrot of credits and rebates shouldn't be the primary driver for building owners to pull the trigger on saving the planet.
Man, these are all great points and something for all the listeners to think about. Let's pivot here to another point. And Tom, how is the BEAT auditing program going? And BEAT is an acronym for what?
The Building Envelope Auditing Team. So I'm the we're actually creating and building a nationwide team of building envelope auditors and demonstrating that that approach of separating the building envelope out from as a standalone energy conservation measure, you know, something you need to do to save the planet and money, can provide and is providing building owners with a first step towards decarbonization and the initial reduction in operating costs. And it's a very small investment. So breaking the building envelope out seems to be working. We're teaching auditing skills that give potential employees an opportunity to generate revenue for their employers. It's not labor skilled. It's not a cost.
Okay, so let's elaborate a little bit more on that.
Well, a lot of skills training that I've seen over the, you know, 40 years that I've been doing this, a lot of the skills training focuses on installation of product, either general labor or slightly skilled labor, which is a cost. It's considered a cost to the employer. BEAT auditing, this audit building envelope auditing training, provides the graduate, the student, you know, whoever takes the course and passes the course, with a skill that contributes directly to the sales side, the revenue generating side of the business. You know, I've been in conversations with contractors and they've explained to me that labor is a cost and we try and minimize costs. So if those two, labor and costs, are tied and we're trying to minimize them, we're very hesitant to hire just a laborer into our business. And in the same conversation, I was told, look, if a potential employee can come through the door with a revenue generating skill, you know, like salespeople and whatnot, but attached to revenue, like auditing, there's a far greater likelihood of becoming employed. And that's important.
So how's it working out?
Well, we've got 501c3, you know, that's the nonprofits, and they benefit greatly in the recent tax credits as well. That's a deeper dive for another day, but I've got a lot of 501c3 entities who focus on training, looking at hosting BEAT, building envelope training, auditing skills at their facilities. We're in the process, as a matter of fact, of putting a training class together in the south side of Chicago through a particular 501c3 organization in early May. And the Inflation Reduction Act provides rebates and credits for that training back to that entity. So it's really working out well.
So Tom, tell us where we can learn more about the opportunity.
Well, anyone who's interested in becoming an auditor or adding building envelope auditing skills to their current sales force, or a building owner that wants to get their buildings audited, you know, take the first step down the path to decarbonization, they can check out my website at letstalkpur.com/BEAT. That's BEAT. And it's all there.
And let's remind listeners at the end of this podcast, that website again, So, Tom, where do we go to learn more about the Inflation Reduction Act and credits and rebates?
Just about anywhere these days. I mean, there are a lot of websites and companies out there that provide, you know, a summary of the act and all the differences, the different ways that you can become involved. Now, I suggest, you know, a keyword search on your current browser, and you'll get dozens of different entities that have their own take on the opportunities. But keep in mind, please, that these are early days. Some of the information is conflicting and confusing, but over time, it'll get better. The one thing I would suggest that the audience does, John, is seek in your state who has been designated, what companies, what entities have been designated as the IRA, the grants and rebates, or 179D administrator. That's a formal word that the Department of Energy has given to particular entities that approve the rebate and credit request. So you've got to identify who those state level companies are. Try and find that out.
Now, do you have an example of typical insulation contractors that are now looking at energy conservation?
Yeah, John, insulation contractors have always been in the energy conservation business. They just didn't think of it that way, you know? If we look at roofing contractors, for an example, typical roofing retrofit jobs are a result of a roof leak. And until it gets really bad, the building owner can't tolerate it anymore, so they fix it. But now, you know, with a little bit of this environmental awareness and the potential to get business tax credits for doing work, we're seeing a lot more re-roofing opportunities. The justification to do the work now includes energy savings, calculations of environmental impact, all of these things, the potential to reduce operational costs has to be identified up front. So roofing contractors are getting much more sophisticated, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. So our roofers, and as an extension for our readership, wall and ceiling contractors, are they becoming BEAT auditors?
Yeah, they are. And the roofers are seeing an opportunity to expand their product offering. You know, it's like coming down the walls. Think of the building envelope as a foundation, flat floor, two walls and a roof. And roofing contractors have been working on the roof. They need to audit the building, come down to and address the walls. And I think that expands the roofers. Insulation contractors are doing the same thing. As we bring insulation up the walls and across the roof, we now want to know what our impact is and our savings for insulation guys that also install roofing materials. So there's a market expansion, a growth from roofers and insulators.
Excellent. It looks like 2023 will be the year of education and energy conservation. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I really see that as the thing we're going to focus on throughout the year. There's an opportunity for contractors to expand the scope of their business, and there's help on the financial side through government rebates and whatnot to drive that expansion. So I really think we're going to see a significant uptick in the energy conservation space.
Now, as we wrap things up here, Tom, hey, listen, what's in store for our next podcast?
Well, I appreciate that, John. Thanks. And I think we need to dispel some of the myths and misunderstandings around spray foam. We need to get back and deep dive my favorite subject.
Oh, man, that's something that, yeah, I can't wait to sink our teeth into, Tom. That sounds like fun. So, there we have it, ladies and germs, the man, Tom Harris of Tom Harris Consulting PUR. And I mentioned that I wanted to repeat that website. So that is letstalkpur.com/BEAT, B-E-A-T. That is the website to get more information on the BEAT. And Tom, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you again. And until next time, we want to thank all of our listeners for this recent podcast of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John Wyatt, Walls and Ceilings, signing off.